we love doing the show more when the Eagles win. Makes it more fun, gives us more hope for glory, all that good stuff. But obviously, we got to cover it when they lose as well. And that's what we're doing today. Eagles 2-2 in the season, a very uninspiring September. Seth Joyner with us every single Monday at this time. Or put another way, with us the day after an Eagles game every time. They play a Monday night. Seth's with us on Tuesday. They play on Sunday. Seth is typically with us Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. And brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. We welcome in one of the Eagles' great players of all time, Mr. Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth. Good
morning, gents.
So, the game, your reaction, what stood out to you, Seth?
Nothing stood out.
That's one way to do it.
All right, thanks for coming on, Seth. We'll talk to you next week.
See you in 2 weeks.
So, how bad is it, Seth?
You know, it's pretty bad. We're only four games into, you know, a 17-game schedule. So it's a little, it's difficult for me to just, you know, talk about how bad things really are because there's always a chance that they can turn it around. But, you know, defensively, you kind of expect the inconsistencies, a good week, a bad week, a good week, a bad week. Offensively, you know, they're just too talented, and I don't care that, you know, your two best wide receivers and your starting right tackle. You dominated what was supposed to be the best team in the National Football League last week, and you go down and you completely lay an egg against a team that, you know, this had your number, but the way they played last week and the quarterback's been sacked 12 times in three games and, you know, you go down there and you just lay an egg. And I don't want to hear about the weather because everybody had to play in it. It just, you know, it goes on and on. It's just, it's a disappointing outing because I kind of felt like last week would be a launching point for this team, particularly on the defensive side, and they looked worse yesterday than they looked any other week of the season. And I'm really starting to become concerned about Jalen. And, you guys know that I've been one of his biggest proponents.
Yep.
And one of his biggest backers. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm a little concerned.
What's tipping you there in recent weeks that gets you more concerned than you had been?
Well, his news conference yesterday, I gotta be better. I heard that crap before. I heard that before, not too long ago. You know, at some point you have to stop saying it and you have to start doing it. It has to become very apparent to everybody that the switch comes on and the change is made. So I'm starting to become concerned about him, and I'm also concerned about Kellen Moore because you look at Baker Mayfield, and I watching that game yesterday, that coaching staff did a very, very smart thing with Baker. They looked over the last couple of weeks, and they realized that, you know, they were having protection problems. They looked at how the Eagles like to play defense, and they devised a game plan. There was this chess match that's going on the entire game. Give them a light box, they run the ball. You know, stack the box, they throw the ball. Corners off, take what the defense is given. Corners up, you know, we're going to try you down the field. We're going to, you know.
Isn't that just good offense? Yeah. I mean, isn't that the way you're supposed to run offense, Seth?
John, I feel your frustration because the question to me is, where the hell is that philosophy on our side of the ball?
You're using motion, Baker Mayfield, to get a better feel for what the coverage is, and you know right away where you're going with the football. Why doesn't Jalen have that advantage? Why don't we utilize that?
I think the overall organizational philosophy is explosive plays. I was listening. I was up late last night. Couldn't sleep. So I was watching a little bit of a rerun. You know, Jaws was talking about they need to push the ball down the field and need to be more explosive. That they can design plays to be more explosive. I don't believe that. I think that
against the blitz?
Listen, I'm just
so the problem. Like what we're talking about here is yesterday we knew the blitz was coming, and so the hot route was thrown. But Jalen, having thrown the hot route, it's only 5 yards. It was 3rd and 10. Tampa is happy to give us that, but our offense didn't devise ways to take more than that 5 yards against the blitz.
I think the philosophy is what the problem is, because I think that. And nobody's going to want to hear this with a quarterback that you're paying $50 million a year. But they need to simplify the game for him, at least until he gets his confidence going, until you can get to some rhythm. You know, the short passing game, run the ball, a good mix. Stop trying to push the ball down the field. Just, you know, 5 yards on first down. Raise up like everybody else. Everybody else is raising up and sees the corners 10 yards off the ball, and they're happy to take the 5 yards
and
move the ball down the field however long it takes them to get there. But we always get to a point, we'll do that for a couple of plays, and then all of a sudden we want to take a shot down the field. Now we've wasted a down. And the one thing that they couldn't do yesterday is get behind the sticks, and they stayed behind the sticks all day long. If you get the second and long, definitely when you get the third and long against Todd Bowles, you know he's coming. And he's coming with some things with all these replacements that you have on the offensive line that's going to confuse you and confuse your quarterback.
Yeah, I'll say this, Seth. They definitely, when A.J. and Devontae are out, and hopefully that is no longer, we'll see, in 2 weeks. But when those guys are out, they definitely need to run the ball more. I mean, that to me is malpractice, to act like you're just going to run the same ratio of passing and running plays when you don't have two star receivers. That's just dumb.
Oh, listen, I get it.
Help your quarterback out. Look, I'm down on Jalen, but help him out. I mean, I remember the year, and Andy's a great coach, but I remember the year in 05 when Donovan had the core muscle injury in the first month of the season. First month, core muscle injury. And if you go back and look at the first 8 games, Andy was calling 80% pass plays. 80. With a star quarterback in his prime. It's only a matter of time until his groin was going to get completely ripped up as it was in that play versus Dallas. Like, help your quarterback out a little bit.
Well, but that's the point that I'm making. Your offense is struggling, and you keep banging your head against the wall trying to do the same thing. You did it last week. You gave Saquon 5 touches in the first half last week before you realized, hey, we got to get this guy going. He's an integral part of what we do. You did the same thing this week. They stopped him, you know, a couple of times in the first two series, and you got away from him. You put the ball in Jalen's hand with all of these second-tier, third-tier wide receivers, and you did not create, because Tampa plays a lot of zone too. They don't come out and just play strictly man to man. Even in their blitz schemes, they play a lot of zone behind it. So you mean to tell me that when they're sending the extra guys, that there's not some voids within that zone where you can like sit wide receivers down and take the 5 yards, hurry up and get the ball out of your quarterback's hand? Do you realize there was a point in time in this season, and I kind of relished it going into this game yesterday, but I think after week two, Jalen Hurts, his rating against the blitz was 158.3. He was tied for first with Andy Dalton, of all people, against the blitz. Now,
that was encouraging.
It was very encouraging.
Yeah, it was.
And that was week two, you said?
Yes.
And yeah, it felt like he had taken a major step, but then
I came into this game. I talked about it on our pregame show yesterday. I said I relished the fact that Todd Bowles was going to come after him, the way that he's played against.
That's the way it should be.
But he got consumed yesterday, because the minute you get behind, now you're behind the eight ball. You have to throw the ball, you know. So it was a confluence of things, the coaching, the play of the players, the execution of what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not sure we've got this Jekyll Hyde thing going on. What do we want to be? But at the end of the day, I'm sick of this dad defense.
What does that mean?
Dad?
The dumbass defense. It's what I'm sick of.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't play your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball.
Was that because they were exhausted and they didn't feel like they could get up there and contend?
I get it that Mike Evans is a great wide receiver. I get it that, you know, Godwin, you know, underneath is a problem. But, John, you can't go into a game expressing that much fear in your opponent because your opponent begins to see it. Mm-hmm. When you're playing your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball, there's not a quarterback in the National Football League that's not going to just raise up and take it.
Seth, let me ask you a question. We're going to get to a lot of calls as well. Seth fielding phone calls with us this hour. We'll get to that shortly. Let me just ask you this question about the defense. So, to me, you got three components with the defense. You got Howie's role in picking players. Mm-hmm. You got the players themselves. And then you've got Fangio's role in deploying them. All right. So I want to talk about Howie for a second, because we can talk scheme all we want, and it's a worthy conversation. But I would contend there are only four players on this defense who actually deserve to be NFL starters. And it's the two cornerbacks. It's Jalen Carter and it's Gardner Johnson, who's teetering, but like, I'm not going to kick him off a starting team. Am I wrong? Is it only four? Like, no. Is Reed Blankenship really a starting safety? Is N'Kobe Dean really a starting linebacker?
Well, don't get me started on him. You go to my Twitter feed. You'll understand how I feel about him.
What that's about where... Zach Bond?
No, listen, they've got some players. You know what the Eagles' problem is, Joe? Their problem is Howie has not constructed a defense that has any playmakers on it. None. Think about it. Who makes a play? And I would tell you.
Slay is supposed to.
To be Jalen Carter and Slay.
No, don't talk to me about Slay. Don't talk to me about Slay. Okay?
Uh-oh.
Do not talk to me about
You're
Slay.
You're mad at Slay?
Go ahead.
Come on, man. You guys see it. Ray Charles and Jose Feliciano can see it. Okay? You can see it.
What's the issue? Go ahead. What is the issue with Slay?
Listen. So I'm gonna defend him a little bit, and then I'm going to be just straight up honest about it.
Yep.
He's a man coverage corner. He's always been a man coverage corner. You signed him and you brought him here and you put him in a zone scheme. Then you play him 10 yards off the ball. And when you play your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball, and as a defensive coordinator, you send the message to your players that we're trying to fight against, we're going to prevent the explosive play, the deep ball. Well, then you put into them this passive posture that begins to seep into who they are, because you have to be an aggressive player on the defensive side of the ball. You look at the good defenses that pressure, that get up and challenge people at the line of scrimmage, okay? They are postured in that way. Like, I'm here to take your freaking head off. Mm-hmm. That's the posture that you see. That's not what you see when you look at our defense and our cornerbacks are 8, 9, 10 yards off the ball. You know, it's a passive posture. Now, what you can do at all times, and I used to teach this, you know, to my little peewee kids. There are players that are going to be better than you, bigger, faster, stronger. Some even smarter. But the one thing we all got to give in abundance is effort. Don't ever let me have to coach you about effort. You're here. You practice. We run. You hurt. The whole thing. If you're here because you want to be here, then give the effort.
You think Slay's not picking?
He's not giving the effort at all. I watch him play, and he doesn't want to tackle anybody. You can come to me. You can come at me on Twitter all you want, Darius Slay, but I watch you play, and you want no action whatsoever. If you can't push a guy out of bounds or you can't trip him up, you don't want any part of that. And you can't play football defensively and be successful that way. Okay? So I'm done with that. That's just a fact.
And he's one of their better players.
Supposed to be.
It's brutal. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Seth Joyner in studio with us, as he is every Monday at this time. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, crew. How are we today?
I mean, you know.
Usually call after an Eagles game because my emotions are high. But I'm having deja vu to 2018, 2019.
Carson stinks!
Right. The only difference is I'm not calling in and helping John defend Carson Wentz. I'm not going to call and help John defend Jalen Hurts this time. Joe, I think you're 100% right. John, you're my boy, but it's not the coach's fault. It's not the offense fault. It's Jalen Hurts.
It is Jalen Hurts.
Right.
The problem everyone seems to think he can't improve from here.
Because you and I did this with Carson Wentz for almost 3 years. saying that he's going to improve, that it's this person.
Jalen Hurts is not Carson Wentz.
He seemingly is. I'm just telling you, John, come over to this side sooner than later. I mean, we wasted a lot of our time a couple years ago arguing about how good Carson is and all his excuses of why he isn't playing well. Unfortunately, I don't want to say it, but I think it's Jalen Hurts. And history tells us, and believe me, I hate saying this more than anything, is Joe's right. Joe was right about Carson Wentz, and unfortunately, I think he's right about Jalen Hurts at this point.
It's impossible to say this 26-year-old quarterback is what he will be.
We don't know the ultimate outcome yet, but I tend to think in time I'll be proven right. I think that process has begun. Look, I don't want to be right, but
His process of...
No, the process of the next 2 to 3 years in pro football, whether he's here or elsewhere. Like, let me make this... I thought about this last night.
Incomprehensible.
Here's what I thought of last night. James, tell me if this resonates with you. I'm curious. I thought last night, how can I sum up how I feel about Jalen right now? Here's where I'm at on Jalen. If Jalen Hurts was the quarterback on the other team against the Eagles, I'd have no fear right now. That's where I'm at on Jalen Hurts. James, is that reasonable?
Yeah, I feel the same way going up against
Jalen. I would look forward to the Eagles' defense being able to play against Jalen Hurts because I think they would... cause some turnovers and confusion. Jalen would make a couple of nice plays because he does that. It was a very nice touchdown pass yesterday. Rolling to his right, bought some time, waited for the receiver to sit it down. That was a good play. But you need more good plays to be a good player. And I just don't think he's a good player anymore. Seth, your thoughts?
Anymore.
Listen, I think it's a confluence of a couple of different things. I think it's the play calling. I think it's what he's being asked to do. And I think it's, you know, in his mind, what he really wants to do. There are some elemental differences when you begin to make the comparison between what happened with Carson and Jalen Hurts.
Carson Wentz is horrible.
I think that at the end of the day, as talented as Carson was, Carson was a psychological misfit, if you will.
He was broken. He was broken mentally.
And I'm not going to say that. I would never say that about Jalen Hurts. I just won't, because you know I see the leadership, I see the work ethic, and I see their accountability at the podium.
Say a 26-year-old quarterback is now?
No, listen,
as good as he
John,
will be?
The thing is, every single
That's not what I said, John.
Every single quarterback goes through these periods. Every one of them.
Yes.
Every one of them. We just seen Joe Burrow for the first time in almost, a year and a half, 2 years, have a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
For the first time.
And that was
And I can promise you that nobody in Cincinnati is talking about we need to get rid of Joe Burrow. See, this is the lunacy of what we do. Now, we can talk about the concerns, but the thought that, you know, he can't turn it around or he can't be what he once was, that's ridiculous.
I'm not saying he can. I'm saying it's in my opinion, it is unlikely that he will improve enough to justify being the long-term quarterback of the Eagles.
Sometimes,
because he's just not good enough.
I think everyone feels, most people feel that way, John.
Sometimes it's not, of course they feel that way. Because they're looking at a sample size. You're looking at a sample size of a team collapsing last year, which I wouldn't say that was Jalen's fault that the team collapsed.
You can
attribute the turnovers.
Well, it was a lot of different things, but he was a big part of it.
I understand that. But just like Jaws always says, the quarterback gets too much credit when things go right, and they take too much of the heat when things go sideways. And that's true. It's 100% true. But I think at the end of the day, we're looking at a small sample size. We're looking at 11 games. Jalen Hurts is 3-8. This football team is 3-8 over the last 11 games. That's what's got us worried. Nobody was saying all of this, you know, when he was in the run for the 2022 MVP. Nobody was saying this, even though we could see the fissures and the fractures beginning to happen when this team was 10-1 last year. this whole narrative we're talking about over 11-game sample size. And we're talking about this guy can't be the quarterback, and he can't get better, and they can't turn it around based on a 3-8 record. That is absolute insanity. What are you guys saying? Are you saying Joe? Are you saying
James?
Are you saying the rest of you out there that are gonging this gong that we need to go and get another quarterback? Is that what you're saying? Because of Joe, if that's what you're saying, the only way you're going to get a quarterback that's worth his salt to be able to take this team where it wants to go is to go and draft one. And guess what? Look at all the young quarterbacks with the exception of Jaden Daniels right now, and there will come a point in time where he goes backwards too. It's inevitable.
Yeah. Okay? Here's what I'm saying.
Is that what you want?
I'll answer your question. Here's what I'm saying. I don't think Jalen is a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he will be the long-term quarterback of the Eagles. And one way or another, in the next year or two, I think they will need to find a new quarterback. And I know, and here's my biggest thing. I know that's not easy, and it scares the hell out of me. Because if you don't have a guy, you got a problem.
John, I would rather
ride it out with Jalen.
Me too.
Okay?
Me too.
Get it right. Than to go through that, because if you want to go through that, guess what? We will spend.
I don't want to. No, there's a difference between wanting to and feeling like you need to.
But even if you do, you're looking at 3 to 4 years of mediocrity.
I'm well aware.
All of this talent that's been amassed on the offensive side of the ball will go for naught.
I don't disagree with you. That's a huge problem.
Be careful what you ask for.
The two guys in this room who played and really had been out there when the bullets were flying.
Carson Wentz is horrible.
This guy,
who was right 5 years ago?
Yeah, you're
ago, John.
Wrong about Carson, man.
John,
who cares?
You told me Devin White was going
to
be a great player
point,
for the
you
Eagles.
Just said what
Devin
you said.
White's reactivated every game. You told me Johnny Wilson was going to be good. He never catches a ball.
So what? That's a different scenario.
So I don't care that you played pro football 20 years ago. I mean, I do, but not enough to value your opinion above mine. I don't. I just don't.
You should.
I don't.
The fact that we play doesn't matter.
I mean, I love you, but you were
wrong. No, John, you're not, like, infallible because you played football. You've been wrong a lot. Like, you got to accept that.
Of course.
Okay, well,
what we're talking about is a quarterback developing.
Get personal here. Hold on. We need some moderation here. we need some moderation here. Okay?
Oh, hold on. By the way, hold on. No, not now. Is it too early? Is that too early for that? No.
Okay. So, to be honest here, I'm the only one that's been right for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I called Carson way before anybody else.
Everybody, no.
I remember in week four
of
we were doing of that last year.
Oh man, I was there. Before that, but go ahead.
No,
you're saying week four of 2020?
No,
Seltzer, he's like 2 years behind me. But okay, go ahead.
2 years behind you. 2 years behind you, the Eagles are coming off a Super Bowl win.
I knew in 2018 there was a problem, and for sure in 2019,
I knew it was a problem the minute that Nick Foles won the MVP, because what undid Carson Wentz was nothing more than the ghost of Nick Foles.
That was part of it, not all of it.
No,
he just wasn't good at reading defenses. He just wouldn't check the ball down.
How do you know, man?
How do I know? I saw the Eagles for 4 or 5 years with him. He would never throw the ball as a check down. That's how I know. I watch the games. Tom's yours is up ahead. Even more important than that, Seth on Sirianni. Where Seth Joyner stands on Nick Sirianni as the head coach and whether he should remain the head coach. We'll get to that next as well on 94 WIP. Hey, let's get to FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, and how you can score a big W with America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook, and get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. All right, so one more game, obviously, here with week four. It's Detroit. It's Seattle. It's a pretty good game. Two teams that have a legitimate shot to be, you know, playoff squad this year. You can lock in a bet or bets at FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer to make every moment more this season. All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning. We look forward to Thursday morning because that's the day when we'll be at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for a 12-hour WIP broadcast celebrating the return of Red October. Now, we'll be 4 of those hours, our show 6 to 10. Special announcement during that show at 8:40, as well as Philly's guests rolling through the shows throughout the day. Red October Rally, Thursday at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, 1526 Packer Avenue. Be there if you are able. If you can't, obviously, just make sure you listen here on the station. Not to say that we won't be talking a lot of Eagles that day as well. I'm sure we will. But as we move closer to the playoffs with the Phils, you know, that'll start, you know, getting center stage. All right, I want to get to Sirianni with Seth, but let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day first, and then assess the opinion of Sirianni. So both questions are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be PA's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. Drive ArminChevy.com. John, which do you think won the poll for which is the biggest issue with the Eagles? The three choices, we put them in alphabetical order. Defense, Hurts, Sirianni. Which do you think won the poll?
I'm going to say Sirianni.
He does. And I don't think he should, but he does. 42% say Sirianni, 32% say Hurts, 26% say defense. All right, next poll question. John, how do you think people voted on this one? Do you think the Eagles should fire Sirianni during the bye week? Which obviously, if they do, is going to be today or tomorrow. I mean, you don't wait till Friday to do that. Should they fire, not will they, should they fire Sirianni, yes or no? How do you think people voted?
Yeah, I'm going to, look, I am so uncertain, but up in arms against Nick Sirianni. I don't want to fire him. I can't imagine. I'm going to say this is like 7% want to fire him.
63% want him canned.
Jeez.
Immediately. 63.
Okay, that's.
Doesn't surprise me.
A little bit irrational.
Well, listen, people think he's no good, and they think the season could go down the tube.
Day after overreaction.
Some of that. All right, Seth. Sirianni. Let's just start with this. Would you fire him right now?
No.
Okay.
Because then you create the same chaos that you created last year.
It's one of them. I agree.
Last year when you swap.
Okay. So let's peel it back more. So you keep him, but you're concerned. How concerned are, like, Nick Sirianni, in your opinion, is what right now as the Eagles head coach?
This whole CEO thing had me concerned. You know, we talked about it in pregame yesterday.
CEO by default, because you're not good at anything else.
You know, and everybody asked the question when the decision was made. But I said last week when, you know, upon some of these decisions, you know, so you don't call plays, you don't make decisions on the defensive side of the ball. So really what Nick Sirianni does is he makes the decisions on what happens on fourth down. Are we going to punt it? Are we going to kick the field goal? Are we going to go for it? And now he's interjecting into the play call in that scenario. I don't know. I can't say that, you know, that he needs to have more of a say as to, you know, what goes on. But as the head coach, he should. Because if my neck is going to be on the chopping block, you know, I want it to be chopped if it's going to be chopped because I did it my way. But I guess we kind of know that that's not really the way it works within this organization.
They don't want it to be that way after last year.
That's why he's here, because it's not allowed.
You think
to be
they made a mistake
way.
Not getting rid of him after last year?
Well, I
because I did. I thought they.
I said if you're going to fire the offensive coordinator, who now we know wasn't the one that was really making all the decisions, it was Nick himself. Okay, if you're going to get rid of two defensive coordinators, then it's highly likely that you probably need to move on from the head coach and bring in a new head coach. But how do you justify that with a 34-17 record?
It was a weird one. Yeah.
You know, you can't, there's no way that they could really justify it. So that's why you hold on to him for an extra year to kind of see how things pan out. But the road that they're traveling now, it doesn't look good for him.
Well, I'll say this about the 34-17. Two things we knew in the moment, 2022 especially, were in play. A historic roster, and an easy schedule two of those 3 years. I mean, James, that schedule in 21 and 22 were a joke. Both seasons.
Oh, yeah.
They were a joke. They were a joke.
Couldn't have been easier.
Listen,
the division stunk. The out-of-conference stunk. Most of the teams they played stunk.
I'm sorry. I can't subscribe to that because, listen, there's only, 1,696 players in the National Football League. I don't care how bad a team looks or is. Okay, you're the elite of the elite. You play who you play. They're on the record.
But there were circumstances. They played Carolina without McCaffrey. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Just like yesterday, the excuse that we didn't have AJ and Devontae, I don't care. You know, when you get to this level, it's not about that. Yeah, you need your star players. But at the end of the day, if you made it this far, you're the best of the best. You're in that elite category.
Do you think DiNucci was going to beat them when he was the Cowboys quarterback? I mean, they faced the Cowboys with DiNucci. Hey,
we don't have those guys for our backup wideouts, Seth. We don't have those elite backup wideouts. We got two.
You're not going to get them, John. Not when you're paying both of your top guys over $20 million. You're relying on those guys, and you're relying on those guys to stay healthy.
It's a risky proposition, and so far it's bit them in the butt so far. All right, Scott and King of Prussia. Scott, good morning.
Greetings, everybody. So I could start with the fact that they didn't IV up or fluid up for the fact they were going into Florida. Somebody dropped the ball there. They were clearly, that game was over before it started. They were completely unprepared.
We don't know that they did not IV up, do we? I mean, I'm sure some guys did.
We do know that we had significantly more players that cramped up than the other team. I mean, that's just factual. If Carter and Davis don't get any push, N'Kobe Dean just gets pushed around and gets mauled. This defense, this scheme with Fangio, I mean, it's more. I know Gannon picked it up from him. I hate it. It sucks, all right? It is a version of the prevent defense, the bend don't break. Why you're 10 yards off the ball and you see you're getting beat on quick passes, why don't you move the cornerbacks up? You know what? If you give up a big play now and then, who cares? You're getting beat consistently in this mini prevent defense. Why don't you change it and do something? Seth, I need you. I need you. To be a coach, I need you to go and
it's
and
fear, Scott.
Lead us, Seth.
It's fear not
show
of
the way.
Big play. Fear of those outside wideouts.
Seth, does this scheme suck? Flat out.
Hey, listen, it's.
Tell me.
It is not, Scott. It is not how I would approach playing defense. You know,
agree.
You're either, in my opinion. You're either forcing the action or you're having an action forced upon you. And defensively, you can never play that way because you're always on your heels. And you make your players, as a defensive coordinator, the way that you posture your players and the way that you call your defense, it has a reflection on the personality, if you will, of your defensive players. You know, if you put them in a more aggressive posture, then they tend to have a more aggressive mindset and they're going to play more aggressively. Yeah. But if you make them passive, which you know Vic Fangio has done two out of the four games this year, they play in a passive manner.
It's like offensive linemen, you run the ball, they get nasty, they like to grind, they like to move forward, they get frothing at the mouth, and they get better.
Absolutely.
You pass set, you ask them to go backwards, they're like, man, this is passive, I hate
this. You know
what
happens, John, too? If you establish the run game early, then you make your offensive linemen even that much more aggressive.
Yeah,
so even when you have to pass the ball and the pass rushes are coming, they're trying to beat the crap out of them as they're pass dropping. But when you put them in a passive posture and they're kicking all day, it's like, oh my God, here I go again, kick, 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 and they become passive.
Yeah.
All right, let's do. And this should be Seltzer. This should be a doozy today. Time's yours after that game. Let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. With Xfinity Mobile customers, you now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
I have defended Jalen Hurts way too long. You know, I saw Baker Mayfield on the sideline today going up and down the sideline, high-fiving everybody. Meanwhile, the Eagles are down 14-0, and Jalen Hurts is sitting on the bench doing nothing. I am so fed up with this team already, and it's only week four. Time's yours.
Yeah, I mean, look, not
Baker
good.
Mayfield really had a resurgence in every way. Playing it the way he leads, he's doing a great job.
He is. It's an admirable thing the way he turned his career around.
Joe, I need you to explain the difference between Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. Carson Wentz has a better arm and looked a lot better the first 3 years of his career. But what do you see in Carson Wentz that you don't see in Hurts? You said Carson Wentz stinks and you saw from the beginning with the eye test. Please tell me why you're not saying that about Hurts.
Well, hold on. I think you're conflating things. First off, I did not say that from the beginning with Carson. It took some time for me to see that he got worse. So let's just be fair there. Look, the difference. So as Jalen is devolving, the difference doesn't look that different. Now, do I think Jalen is better than Carson at the end? I do. Do I think he's more athletic than Carson at the end? I do. But do I have similar concerns? I do. And, you know, he better pull it together or it's going to be Carson 2.0. Right now it's like Carson 1.6. Like, it's on the way to 2.0. It's just not all the way there yet.
It's almost like the Eagles are trying to protect Jalen Hurts from being exposed as a player that sucks by sucking themselves. It's like suck camouflage out there.
Suckaflage.
Yeah, I don't...
Yes! That was great.
Fair enough.
You realize with Jalen Wentz playing the way that he is, without Saquon Barkley, this team is 0-4.
Look, they could have been 3-1. They could have been 0-4. It nets out 2-2. They're not good. That's clear.
Holding the ball, Richie, is not an experience. Holding the ball is unsure confidence and not knowing what you're looking at on the field. That explains looking 1 second and running right away to the right or holding it on to the ball too long. There's no in the middle with him. It's either too long or he runs too early.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Jaws nailed it with what he said post-game yesterday. We'll play that audio in 1 second. Let's do, what do we got, James? One more? Two more.
I don't know what the final total was on missed tackles today by our defense, but I do know this. They can definitely tackle our punt returner. They were 2-for-2 on that. Time's yours.
Yeah, no, that was a disaster.
I can't believe it, but I think the Eagles today, and especially Nick Sirianni, made me break up with football.
Oh, no.
Don't
come
say
on,
that.
Buddy. That's not good. Don't do that. And with that, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
I want to play this Jaws audio with Ruben Frank involved as well from NBC Sports Philadelphia one more time. I thought it summed up a lot yesterday about Jalen. Here's what they said.
Tom Brady, who's, we can argue, is not or is the greatest of all time. You know, I think he is. He said it probably 5 times during that telecast.
Hey.
There's no sense of urgency from Jalen in the pocket. That's the essence of playing the quarterback position. If the coaches are so great that every single play, they can call a play to get A.J. open or get Devontae open or get Dallas open, then you know, he'll be great because that's number one read. They get open, you complete it. But when he has to go 1, 2, 3, 4, goes his progression. You don't have time to do it. He doesn't do it quick enough,
Jaws,
to get the ball out of his hand.
You've talked about that mental clock in a quarterback's
yes.
head. That's got to be, you know, when you get to 2, the ball's got to
be out. You can't stand there and just standing the field.
Either he doesn't have that clock or it's just not ticking right.
All right, we got limited time. Seth, do you disagree with that or do you think they're on point there? That was NBC Sports Philly, by the way, last night.
I think that's more play design than anything else. You know, I do not believe that this offense is set up where Jalen can go 1, 2, 3 and then come back to his check down. I think that the way that they push routes up the field without any outlet is the problem.
Too vertical?
It's too vertical. It was way too vertical.
Gotcha. All right, we got to run. I wish we could do it all day because we could do 24 hours. I just want to make sure. Like, if we had to, we could go 24 straight with
this. Yeah, I wanted to make a point, but we don't.
Nah, just give me the 20-second version if you can.
Well, my wife agrees with you about the whole Jalen Hurts thing, you know, and, you know, she can be a little misguided sometimes.
Yeah. Kendra, a wise woman.
Even though she knows a lot of football. But, you know, I'll say this. Jalen Hurts has had 2 head coaches. He's had to deal through 3 different systems, 4 different OCs. How do you expect for a quarterback to master a system having gone through that?
He scoffs at that. Understood. We'll get into it more another time. James, quickly, if you can, 15-second version. Can you let everyone know Braves, Mets, Diamondback, what are the circumstances?
Yeah, so basically, if either the Braves or the Mets sweep the doubleheader today, the Diamondbacks get in, plus the team that swept. If they split the doubleheader, the Mets and Braves get in.
And the Diamondbacks are out.
Are out. So, theoretically, first team that wins, they could rest. Who knows what could happen with another game to play tomorrow night. It gets a little funky.
Wow, so the team that wins could rest their good players because
they're already in once they win the first game.
Wow. Okay, well, let's see if Joe Judge stands up and says they didn't do right by Major League Baseball. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day. Remember, if you miss Ray earlier or any part of our show earlier, you can hear it on the Odyssey app. It's all there. We'll